There we go. So we are recording. So the session is being brought to us by Linda Valerio. She's one of our mechanical engineers here in the accelerator division and has been a member of the EAC, is a member of the EAC. So Linda, go ahead and take it away.
Absolutely. Thank you, Paul. So I like that you said I'm bringing this to you, but really this was brought to together by the wonderful people in Sandra Charles's office. They organize this, they gather the speakers, and everybody just did a great job of pulling this together. The point of this session is to talk about something we hear a lot about, which is community. We are obviously missing a lot of that since we've been offsite for 2 years. And this is a great time to revisit how we can reconnect not only to our fellow engineers, but others across the site, and even reaching outside the lab to other communities and have an engineering presence in the exterior community. So I'm not going to take any more time. I'm going to let the experts do the talking, but I really appreciate the people who put this talk together, and I look forward to what they're going to say.
And I did enable sharing.
All right. Good morning. Anai, take it away. I'm here backing you up.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. My name is Anai Ruiz Beltran. Welcome to our session, Connecting to Our Community. On this session, you will learn about the opportunities to extend your network and participate in Fermilab outreach programs. On today's agenda, we will be presenting Fermilab Office of Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion, new D&I specialist, Cortez Watkins, and myself. Laura Rogas will be presenting, will go over the laboratory research groups and procedures to use the PT codes for EDI work. Aisha will present on behalf of Fermilab Society of Women Engineers. Michael will talk about Fermilab Young Professionals Buddies Program. Pete will focus on Spectra's initiative, Human Rights Campaign Foundation, Corporate Equality Index. Cortez Watkins, member of the African American Black Association, will focus on the DuPage County AXO NSB Junior. And Kevin will present on the African School of Physics. Laura and I will allow a maximum of 3 questions per presenter to keep the conversation going. If there are more questions, we'll see if we have time at the end. If not, we'll be answering questions via email. Like I mentioned, my name is Anai Ruiz Beltran. I am the new D&I specialist for Culture, Climate, and Belonging at the Office of EDI. Just a little bit about my background. In 2019, I graduated with my bachelor's in Spanish with a minor in sociology and Latin American Latino-Latina studies. And right after graduating, I started my master's in languages, literatures, and cultures with a focus in theoretical and applied linguistics in Spanish. And through my time there, I was teaching Spanish to undergrads. And right after graduating this past year, I started working at St. Xavier University as an academic and career research advisor. As a D&I specialist, I'll be working directly with the LRG groups, providing support during their monthly meetings and events. I'm also in the process of coordinating Inclusion Matters, so keep a lookout on the Diversity and Inclusion website. It will be posted this upcoming month. And this upcoming month too, I'll be facilitating the EDI task force. I'm also the coordinator for the Target program. It's a summer internship program for high school students who are sophomores and juniors. And then if you can go back, Laura, just this past month, I attended various LRG monthly meetings. One in particular was Fermilab's Asian Pacific Association get together to celebrate the Lunar New Year. And I also enrolled in Fermilab Young Professionals Buddy Program, and I met my buddy Lorena. And that's what I've been working on since I started. I'll hand it over to Cortez Watkins.
Hello, good morning, everyone. My name is Cortez Watkins, and I am the D&I specialist for Workforce Pathways and Community Outreach. So a little bit about myself. I'm originally from Memphis, Tennessee, home of Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll, you know. And I studied engineering and physics and Japanese in undergrad and did graduate studies in engineering management. I'm a first generation college student. And another really cool fun fact is I'm actually a classically trained tenore. So, but no singing today. some of the things that I will be working on within the Fermilab community is really to make sure that we are exposed and understand our outreach when it comes to workforce, as well as awareness. Taking our veteran workforce space to a different level, just by making sure that we're truly inclusive of that community, as well as with the Indigenous community engagement. Some other things behind the scenes that a lot of people don't know about is that we have so much compliance reporting to do for the DOE and the Department of Labor. So making sure that Fermilab is definitely in compliance for all those things. So if you have questions about workforce needs or any of your committees also, please feel free to reach out.
I'll hand over the presentation to Laura Rogas, who will be talking about the LRGs and the PT codes.
And thank you, Anai. Very briefly, I won't read from these slides. We'll make them available after the presentation because there's a few links and resources that you'll be able to click on. But I did want to present very briefly that there is a wealth of resources and individuals that you can reach out to based on your personal bandwidth, your professional bandwidth, your interest, your background, any communities that you identify with or want to enhance your allyship with. This is the most up-to-date list of the key contacts for laboratory resource groups. So the structure of all of them is that there's sort of the leadership within the group, the people who develop the initiatives and propose the initiatives. And then everybody also has an executive sponsor that helps to further their missions, agendas, initiatives, that sort of thing. So a number of these LRGs have representation here today. This, and it's by no means exhaustive. So if there is a group that you're interested in, if you navigate to the diversity.fnal.gov website, on the left-hand menu, there's a page for resource groups, and there's all of the links for people to reach out to, background information to read, resources, that sort of thing. And Anai and I are working on those pages on an ongoing basis to keep them updated. So if you have suggestions too about resources to add, or if you want to get involved with these groups, become a member, step into a leadership position, anything like that, there's a wealth of opportunities based on your interest as an individual. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention very briefly, and again, I won't read from this slide, is that this past fall, as a result of a coordinated effort between the EDI Task Force, the Senior Leadership EDI Council, and the finance team, the new lab-wide EDI and EPE time charging codes were rolled out. So these codes are specific to each division and section. And basically, made a very straightforward procedure for engaging in work related to equity, diversity, and inclusion, or education and public engagement. And work with LRGs, these things that we're going to be talking about today, are a pre-approved activity associated with EDI work. So if you are engaging in these initiatives, if you're participating in these outreach efforts, or you know, getting people together for lectures, working with Inclusion Matters, that sort of thing, these codes apply and you can bill your time back accordingly. So I do recommend, if you do have interest in this, reach out to your field financial manager and they'll be able to give you the specific project and task codes for that work within your group. And again, we'll make these slides available since there's some things to click and there's a procedure to read and that sort of thing. But just wanted to make you aware that These are billable activities. And I will, I'll pass it back over to Anai.
Thank you, Laura. I'll be passing it now to Aisha, who will be presenting on behalf of Fermilab Society of Women Engineers.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Can you guys hear me? All right, it looks like I have to be really close to my mic on my phone. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Good morning. So I'm Aisha Ibrahim. I'm the interim chair for the Society of Women Engineers. And so here's some pictures that we've taken over the years. Laura, next slide. So the Society of Women Engineers, or SWE, is a national nonprofit organization that was founded in 1950. Its mission is really to empower women to succeed, advance, and to be recognized as engineers and leaders in the industry. Back a few years ago, the DOE had focused on gender demographics at all the national labs. And in response to that, Fermilab became a SWE corporate member back in 2016, and also created the FSWE LRG to supplement that. SWE encourages allyship. So the membership is open to all gender identities in all STEM fields. So likewise, FSWE is open to all Fermilab employees. One benefit of Fermilab becoming a corporate member is that it comes with 9 professional memberships. And those professional memberships are available to all Fermilab employees at no cost. There is an application period. We do have a limited number, and the application period is in the early summer. And it gives you access to all of SWE's learning centers, which has courses that are accredited both for continuing education and professional development units. You also have several different avenues to network with industry partners in the Chicago regional chapter, and do outreach with the high school and university chapters. SWE also has its own LRGs, so to speak. They're called affinity groups. So that allows you actually a different way to to network more nationally on special, on certain communities or certain initiatives. So I have listed here there is a mistake here on the slide, so I'll put it in the chat, but if you're interested in joining, you can send an email to the listserv. I actually copied and pasted the information there from the EAC website, so that's why it says engineers all, but if you replace that with Fermi Society Women of Engineers, that's actually how you'd be able to get on our list. We work closely with SWE and SWE Chicago Regional, so if there are events or professional development seminars or webinars, those go out to the listserv, as well as other initiatives, and any updates to the any updates regarding the application period or different events would also go on that listserv. So since 2017, SWE has been actually starting to go to the national conference. Its initial objectives were really to establish hiring and outreach practices at these professional conferences. And, you know, I think 2019 was our last in-person event, and there we conducted 23 on-site interviews with offers ready in hand. That actually resulted in 2 new hires from 3 job offers. And other groups have sort of learned from our experiences there. And so across the lab, we've sort of been moving the needle a little bit. And so back in 2017, for example, the total number of females at the lab were 24%, and now it's 26%. And for engineers, you go from 8.4% to 12.6%. So we are making an impact there slowly but surely. Last year, we realize that, you know, the process has been really well established, especially as we've learned, we've taken what we've learned at the Sweet Ashel conferences and applied it to other conferences. And so we really have a well established procedure there on how to do this. So in recent years, we've refocused our efforts to start leveraging SWE's resources and partnerships with the Fermilab community. Those resources actually come from sharing the webinars that we have from SWE and actually reaching out to other federal DIE groups that have been known to work with SWE. So POWER and FEW are two examples of those. We attended virtual conferences with them last year. And then we've also started, we presented the strategic leadership series and inclusive recommendations for writing, requesting, and accessing them, letters of recommendations. We presented that webinar last year as well. Other webinars we presented were the navigating successfully through workplaces, shaped by subtle bias. And I think our highlight for last year was basically a replay of a talk from the WE 2021 conference called Leveraging Male Allies to Champion Gender Inclusion and Equity. And we had guest speakers for the Q&A after that. So hopefully this year we'll continue forward with those. And if we can open up and we're allowed to participate, hopefully we'll be able to participate in the national conference this year as well. Thanks, Laurel and Anni. I'll give you back to you.
Thank you, Aisha. Are there any questions for Aisha at this time?
I'm sorry, real quick. I forgot to mention that last year we actually put together a YouTube video to help with engineering. So I just want to put a shout out to that video. A lot of people probably on the line had worked on that, so they deserve recognition for that really great piece of work there. Creative Services did a great piece of job.
Thank you, Aisha. If there's no questions right now, we'll move on to Michael, who will be speaking on behalf of the Young Professionals Buddy Program.
Thank you, Ani. I had a very similar presentation on Tuesday, more focused towards the new engineers this time around. I want to talk to you about the Fermilab Young Professionals Buddy Program from the buddy's perspective. So go ahead and next slide. To take a half step back, yes, we are a laboratory resource group, an LRG, and our mission is to provide a platform for young professionals to connect with fellow Fermilab community members to learn about Fermilab in general, advance their careers, and reach their highest potential. So next slide. However, the mission of that buddy program is basically developed because we learned through surveying, listening to our members, that there was a growing disconnect that they felt with the laboratory. So the program is supposed to be a catalyst to help employees transition to their roles, provide support for them to succeed. But the goal is to also ensure that all new employees feel the same, feel a sense that they are part of our work culture, because they are, and to help them navigate Fermilab. Now, the program has three active phases, just like I presented on Tuesday, and it introduces new employees to the Fermilab environment and also common lab expectations, but we need people to kind of help them through that, known as a buddy. However, we also promote Fermilab's internal functions, processes, and continue to endorse personal and professional growth. Next slide. So for a new employee, this is kind of what they've been shown as what the map of Fermilab looks like to help them navigate. And we know that it's ever-changing with all the different projects. Next slide. And their connection with Fermilab so far for the last 18 months has been something like this. It's been a Zoom call. I think it would be ironic to have a PowerPoint of a PowerPoint. So I threw an Excel spreadsheet in there. But you can see sometimes you'd get these meetings where it'd be all names, no faces, everyone's muted except for the speaker. And that speaker, though, would have a lot of jargon. Next slide. And it would just be a bunch of alphabet soup for that new employee. Can you imagine this sentence of, could you look up in DocDB the event in Indico where the team center number is referenced for the TRSs? Okay, for a new employee, that's a lot, okay? And so sometimes they just need that buddy because it feels like, next slide, that they've been dropped off into a new shopping mall, okay? We talked about the parking lot and the additional 115 spots I heard. But once you start walking around, it's kind of hard to navigate. Where was Accelerator Division? Where was APSTD? The food court or the cafeteria starting up on Monday, I hear, between finance and education and computing divisions right next to the GameStop. Okay. How are you going to navigate all that? Well, they just also want to ask simple questions like, where's the good coffee? Like I said on Tuesday. And for us employees, on average, I heard, is for engineers around 15 years of experience, I think we know exactly where that good coffee is. And that new engineer kind of needs that, I would say, guidance to find that cup. Next slide. So for the program itself, Thanks, Laura. For the program itself, new employees are introduced through the welcome packet. But for us seasoned employees, I'll say, you get me now. You also get the Fermi Today article that was issued in early February. The signup is practically the same thing. We just need your name, email, job title, division, section, or project, the phone number, I guess, just in case. But select the radio button for Buddy. And also, you can't be a robot. Sorry. Next slide. So once you hit submit, members from our executive board will send you an email saying, thank you for your interest. We're gathering up names for the pairing process. Now, for that pairing process, we attempt to not pair within the same division, section, or project line management chain just to omit any type of conflict of interest. So it'll be from hopefully different divisions, but within the same job title, like engineer and engineer, give or take. Now, next slide. You will receive one email from the e-board member, and that will just be new buddy, welcome, new employee, buddy's a new employee and vice versa. And then we're basically hands off. The program, like I said, for three active phases has about a month long each. We recommend that each pair meet up for about once every 30 minutes to start and just see how it goes. The initial conversation should just be what type of environment or platform you want to have these conversations, an informal status update platform. You could use Zoom, Teams. It sounds like Zoom is kind of the preferred choice right now. Not texting, apparently, or Teams, but you just need to break that ice. Have the buddy yourself ask the new employees general questions like, how are they adjusting or any obstacles that they're facing? How do you sign into Team Center? Things of that nature. Okay. The pilot program and actually what we're going to be seeing pretty much fairly soon with return to site is, what's the dress etiquette? Is it button down tie? No, not really. Don't worry about it. Jeans is fine, right? Things of this nature to help your new employee get through these processes. For phase two, next slide, the duration is the same, about 2 months. As Laura indicated, we have a lot of LRGs, and this is the time for the buddies to introduce the new employee to all those possibilities, but also things like recreation, clubs, or groups. I just went through the recreation's website. I was amazed at how much we really do have. It's been a while since I rifled through that. Take some interest, look through it. There's quite a lot. And the last phase, phase three, once again, another 2 months, but this is more of a grab bag. However, we also indicated that you could be promoting additional resources or opportunities for professional personal growth, such as additional training courses that you'd want, different conferences you would want to attend, or even the tuition assistance program. Now, sprinkled throughout all three phases, along with the very end, we're looking for a lessons learned. We'll have a survey for you to fill out, internally shared within FYP, and eventually we'll make our report to the EDI office along with WDRS. As far as success, next slide, we did have in our first cohort, which had 10 pairs, a lot of good face-to-face over Zoom. And then we also had one face-to-face in-person meeting between the new buddy and, the new employee and the buddy, which was awesome. And we get to see a lot more of that in our second cohort, which has 14 pairs. And already for cohort three, which is scheduled to start in April, we have 15 new employees already looking for a buddy to help them through this transition. So please sign up. We need more buddies. And it's a great experience and opportunity. Last slide is once again, the reference to the buddy program itself. If you have any questions, I can take them now.
Hi, Michael. I actually do have a question. How long should a person work at the lab before signing up to be a buddy?
I would say as soon as they're comfortable. You don't have to know where the good coffee is to be a buddy. But if you know some of the answers from when you were a new employee, and you can go through your Rolodex of acronyms and know how to navigate that alphabet soup, by all means, sign up for a buddy. There is no requirement of what it takes to be a buddy. But if you feel comfortable being a buddy, please sign up. Any experience would be good for these new employees that, once again, may have never stepped on Fermilab site before, maybe just to get their badge or their VPN or their RSA token, and that's it. Okay. So anyone that has experience being a Fermilab employee, and if you have that confidence, please sign up.
Thank you, Michael. I'll pass it to Laura.
Thank you, Anie. Thank you, Mike. I do want to say, obviously, my picture popped up on your presentation, and I've now been at the lab for just over 3 years and feel very confident in being a buddy. So I'm still, on the low end of a tenure here, but it's worked out very well for me. I figure if she asks a question that I don't know the answer to, we'll figure it out together. Cindy, before I move on, I see your hands up.
Yeah, thanks for a really especially engaging presentation, Mike, both here and the one you gave earlier. It's a lot of fun. I really appreciate that. So my question had to do with, I know that sort of the young professionals group, in some ways, at least their meaning sort of can overlap a bit with the student and postdoc association sort of intent. And for that matter, the buddy program kind of made me think a little bit of the mentoring initiative as well. I think that all these things all, are great and serve a lot of purposes. I guess I was wondering what your thoughts were on the sort of those sorts of overlaps, or where you see the buddy program, where it's different, where it's the same, where you would recommend that, you might go into you might look into this or that.
Sure. So this program was, yes, definitely compared and contrasted to the mentorship program. There is a certain weight limit on that mentorship program, and that's a couple of years. And there was a lot of our FYP members that wanted something like this before the 2 years was up. And so once again, we surveyed and listened to them of saying what it is that our membership wanted. We are not the mentorship program. That is a much more formalized and longer duration program. I highly recommend it, but that is not what our intent is. As far as your postdoc examples are concerned, we do get quite a few postdocs that have signed up as new employees. And so the first thing in that pairing process is try to find other postdocs that have been at the lab. However, at least they will understand the organizations that you referenced there. And so hopefully that buddy can then mention to the new employee / postdoc saying, hey, have you looked into these other grad assistant programs on site? Okay, so that's part of that pairing process that we went through. We tried to identify the best fit for the individual. Does that answer your question, Cindy?
Yeah, that was great, Mike. I was thinking about how before the young professionals existed, I think that there was really a hole for this. And I know that I eventually joined the Student Postdoc Association, even though I wasn't a student or a postdoc, simply because I was looking for a similar sort of niche of young community. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate that this exists.
Thank you. Linda?
I just wanted to add, Michael, you gave a great explanation of the difference between the mentor program and the buddy program. And I just want to reiterate to anyone who's new to the lab that the mentor program is, as you said, a two-year waiting list before you can apply. And to anyone who, either new to the lab or who's been experienced is familiar with the mentorship program, that is more formal and it is more focused on career advancement and development. So that is very intensive. And I want to contrast that this buddy program really is just getting used to the lab. Anybody can do that, right? So anybody can step in and be a buddy and show someone new around and share your enthusiasm for working at Fermilab. It's a much more informal program and just helping people get acclimated.
Thank you, Linda. Mm-hmm. All right, Laura, I think it's yours.
Thank you again, Mike. I'll jump in to introduce Pete, who will be speaking on behalf of Spectrum, the lab's LGBTQ laboratory resource group. Pete, floor is yours.
All right. So I'll be talking about Spectrum, which is an organization that provides community and support and visibility for LGBTQ plus employees at Fermilab. We have members who are from all different LGBTQ plus communities, as well as allies too. So anybody can join. The co-chairs are Erica Snyder and myself. And I'm going to talk about a bunch of work that we've been doing and some of the activities that we engage in. The first one is big news. We've just received approval from senior leadership to take part, for Fermilab to take part in the Human Resource Campaign's Corporate Equality Index. And this index is a tool that's used to measure the level of equality and inclusivity that an organization demonstrates towards LGBTQ plus communities. And that can be in a variety of different areas, such as benefits, employee protection, trainings, and just the overall environment. And there's a lot of large organizations that Fermilab competes directly with for talent that take part in the survey and that tout their scores in their advertising and recruitment materials. So it's very important that we are able to stand toe-to-toe with them on something like this. And I'm talking about organizations like Apple, NVIDIA, Northrop Grumman, Google, Oracle, Baxter, Abbott, I mean, just a few of the names, Motorola. There's a lot of organizations that take place in it or take part in it. And the reason why the Corporate Equality Index has such traction is that the HRC was formed about 40 years ago, and it's the largest advocacy and political lobbying organization for the LGBTQ plus community in the United States. And so that's why a lot of these organizations feel it's worthwhile to participate. It was a lot of work for us to determine whether the lab could participate. We wanted to make sure we would get a good score if we participated. We didn't want to hurt the lab. But there are a lot of benefits that we found during our research into this. First of all, I don't think the laboratory has ever done something like this before. So it's a very visible step for the lab to demonstrate that we are inclusive towards marginalized groups and communities. Also, and that will help in recruiting efforts in that group, but it will also help in recruiting more traditional candidates, white, cisgender, heterosexual candidates, because people who are allies are people that have loved ones, friends, family, and coworkers that are part of our community. So when they see that we're inclusive towards people that they care about, it's a definite plus. Also, we spoke with one of the other laboratories that takes part in this program, Idaho National Lab. And one of the benefits they found in taking part of it was that the work done didn't just improve policy and benefits for LGBTQ plus communities. It also acted as a lightning rod to help improve policies in a lot of different other areas for groups based on race, ethnicity, or even gender. So we, like I said, we've been working very hard to get this passed through. We were working with the EDI office, HR with Jen Gondorchin, Office of General Counsel, Communications, Computing, and finally we're able to get the approval from senior leadership to go ahead. So we'll be working on this pretty intensively for the remainder of the year. It's a big effort, and we should see our first score come through in January of 2023. So if you want to get involved in Spectrum or show your support, you feel free to join Spectrum. The website is down there in the blue box at the bottom of this slide. If you want to visit our website, we have a listserv that you can join to find out about what's going on. You can also do things like post your, put your pronouns in your Zoom profile like I have in mine with he, him, or you can also add them to your email signature as a way to demonstrate support. Some of the other activities that we're engaged in this year that we're trying to work on, the Safe Zone training is going to be continuing in 2022 in the Inclusion Matters program. We've been doing this training for a couple of years now. About 15% of the lab has gone through it, and the feedback has been very positive. So if you want to learn about how to engage in a positive manner with members of our communities or just learn more about LGBTQ plus people, this is a really positive and open way to do it. We have Spectrum happy hours on a fairly regular basis. If you want to take part in that, contact Laura. We've also been doing work to increase the number of gender neutral restrooms at the laboratory. And we're also going to try, we did a Pride Day celebration a couple of years ago, the first one ever at the lab. We'd like to start that up again now that we're all coming back onto site. May not be this year, but maybe next year for sure. And then we've also been working steadily to try to find a way to have Fermilab have a presence in the Chicago Pride Parade. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to take them. Maurice?
Yes, hi Pete. Can you comment on what the term ally mean?
Oh yeah, thanks a lot. One of the bad things about our community is we have a lot of terminology for identities, and sometimes we just take it for granted that everybody knows what they mean. So an ally is somebody who is not is not lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual, or questioning. Somebody who's heterosexual, cisgender, meaning you're comfortable in the sex you were born into, but that you support people in the LGBTQ plus community, and you want to either show support or work on these sorts of efforts. So we have a lot of allies who are members of Spectrum and who contribute heavily to the work that we do. And we love them as much as we love the rest of the members that we have.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete. I'll now hand the floor over to Cortez, who will be talking for the DuPage County AXO NSB Junior.
Okay, hello, good morning, everyone. My name is Cortez Watkins again. So two really exciting initiatives that we are doing here at Fermilab is DuPage County AXO as well as NSB Junior. So AXO is an acronym for the Afro Academic Cultural Technological Scientific Olympics. And students work with mentors to identify, develop, and complete a research project. So Fermilab, as you know, has been a life member of the NAACP for many years. And so AXO actually is an auxiliary program of the NAACP where students get the chance to work with several mentors throughout the academic year and develop a research project, as it says here. So we've had many Fermilab mentors over the years. We've actually even had a Fermilab mentor to assist a student to go on to win a national medal. And so it's two parts to the project. So the students have monthly enrichment sessions where they work with their mentors on their project, and then they compete in a regional competition for scholarship money. And the students that achieve a gold medal at the regional level go on to compete at the national level. And so one of Fermilab own researchers helped the student to actually achieve a gold medal award in physics over the last couple of years. And we're working to increase this collaboration also with Argonne National Laboratory, UIC, and UChicago. So NSB Junior is an auxiliary program of the National Society of Black Engineers. The pre-college initiative program is really designed to stimulate students' interest in STEM fields. Students discover firsthand how engineering and technology relate to the world around them. And so I've been a part of NSB for many years, and actually I'm one of the advisors for NSB Junior here at the laboratory, as well as Donovan Took participates. But with NSB Junior, it has a little bit different focus. We still meet monthly as well, but only on the second Saturdays. And we introduce students to different areas of engineering as well as STEM careers. And so what's really cool about NSB is it's one of the oldest student-led organizations in the country. So that's very exciting to empower our students to participate in NSB. Several of the NSB students, as well as AXO students, do apply for our target programs, our CIS programs, GEM fellowships, as well as participate in Saturday morning physics. So what are we asking the Fermilab community? We're asking Fermilab community to assist with AXO research project competitions. And I'll put a pin right here and say that Fermilab community has already stepped up tremendously. So far, we have over 30 members of the Fermilab community that also include users that have signed up to whether to review students' competition essays, or even just help as mentors or sign up to be judges for a competition. Same with Nesby. If you're interested in actually doing a workshop on one Saturday morning, you have a little extra energy, feel free to sign up to participate with Nesby. Nesby also has FIRST Robotics, VEX Robotics, as well as a math competition in Future City. So essentially, I think if all of us come on board, we can really ensure that the next generation have all the support that they need to be successful. So any questions that anyone have, I'm open to answering. Thank you.
Hi, Cortez. This is Mark DeMentebingo. You mentioned about events that NSBE might be sponsoring, or how is there a listing of these events? So if an engineer is interested in participating, how that works? Thanks.
Yeah, sure. So right now we have for the next couple of months, because it runs through the academic school year, so we have two more meetings before the end of the academic year. You're more than welcome to attend. Just send me an email and I can send you that actual list of presentations. And if you would like to be a part of the planning for, because we're going to start planning for the fall, well, the next academic year, actually at the end of May, so you're more than welcome to participate in that as well.
Okay, I'll send you my email. Just all right, go from there. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Cortez, I do have a quick question as sure. Well, that you may have just kind of answered. If any of us have interest in either one of these programs, is the best route right now to reach out to you directly?
Yes. If anyone have any interest, please reach out to me directly. I'll put my email in chat, but I'm also in the Fermilab phone book. I like using that. Please look me up and reach me. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much, Cortez. I will jump back in. I'm very excited to introduce Kevin, who will be speaking on the African School of Physics. And Kevin, without further ado.
Okay, thanks, Laura. So good morning, everyone. My name is Kevin Amigan. I'm an engineer in the High Power Targetry R&D program in AD. My background being from Mauritius in Africa and also having lived in Zambia, I personally was very excited to find out about the African School of Physics. And I've been working with the EDI team to see how the lab can get more involved. So today I'd like to share some information on the program and also how Fermilab engineers and scientists can potentially contribute to support the ESP mission. So the ESP is primarily a biennial physics school in Africa, which I believe started in 2010 with the goals of improving the quality of education in Africa by motivating students to pursue higher education and also help build an international network of African and international researchers. The school selects students from all over the continent and is hosted every 2 years by a different African country where the activities and program are coordinated by a local and international organizing committee. It typically lasts for about 3 weeks with multiple 1 week long engineering or physics courses. And as I list here, besides the school, the program also offers workshops to train teachers and motivate students in the STEM field. Every 2 years, they have physics conference to involve African and international researchers and institutions. They also have a continuous mentorship program for students who have already attended the school. And also a forum where researchers, teachers, policymakers, and industry can engage to determine how best to serve the education and research program in Africa. So in general, the success of the ESP is largely due to the international lecturers and participants who really volunteer their time to help the program. And there are several reasons and ways for Fermilab to participate. As a list here, it's really to help support and provide opportunities to the students, help build the international physics community. More importantly, I think, share your own work and expertise of Fermilab, and also join other institutions such as CERN and Brookhaven, who are already actively involved in working with the ESP. So some ways in which we can participate, and that can mostly be done remotely as well, include attending and giving talks on specific topics at the ESP conferences, help students with the mentorship program, or even teaching a course at the school at the next session. In sum, we now have a Fermilab page. We have the link below here, which Laura has helped develop, where you can get more information on the program and also register your interest to join and participate. So I encourage everyone to visit the page, and you can also go to the ASP's website for more detailed information. The link is on top of the slide. So we're looking forward to hearing from people who are interested, and feel free to reach out to me or Cortez or anyone in the EDI team if you have any questions or feedback. So that's it. I'll be happy if we have time to answer some questions now.
Kevin, I do have a quick question because this came up in our conversations the other day. What types of Fermilab professionals should be filling out this form to attend and give talks?
So it includes engineers, physicists, scientists, engineering physicists as well, that we're looking to contribute and participate if interested. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. And I will make sure that these slides again are circulated to all of the participants today, because there's a lot of clickable stuff. So you'll, Cindy, you'll be able to access this new website that I helped develop with Kevin once we circulate the slides.
The slides are also posted in the Indico site for the EA Engineering's Week.
Okay.
All right. NIE, back to you.
Hey, are there any final questions for the presenters or for me and Laura? We'll leave these 10 minutes open if there are any questions. Like I said, the presentation will be posted, and you'll see down below, we have our Office of Equity, Diversity and Inclusion page linked here too. Yes, Cindy.
Yeah, I had a question for Pete if he's still around. I don't know if he is.
I'm here.
Hey, Pete. I was wondering if, I've had some conversations about this, and I wanted to see if like maybe you could help add to my knowledge and also help me talk with other people more effectively about the putting, you know, your pronouns and your email signature or otherwise signifying your pronouns, especially if you are an ally, you know, just ways in which to frame that discussion, because I think it's not one that is sort of universally well understood.
It's a really good question. And there's a lot of different ways that people use their pronouns. There are people who put she, her, or he, his, or they, them. And they, them is usually a sign that somebody is either questioning their gender identity or does not feel comfortable with either a binary identity, that is male or female. But there are a lot of other variations of it that people can use. So my suggestion would be, because no one person is going to be able to necessarily encompass all the possible permutations that you might be interested in would be to check out a website, or if anybody on this call is interested, check out a website like the HRC or some of the other organizations. OSTEM is an organization for college students and professionals who are out or from the LGBTQ plus community. We also, I believe, have some information on the Spectrum site, but that would be a great place to start to see what some of those options are and what one you think fits you the best.
Thank you, Pete. Are there any other questions for the presenters?
I will, I'll jump in here just for a moment if people are still thinking of their final questions. I do want to give two shout outs before we close up today. The first thing is that I actually missed a very important slide on behalf of the Office of EDI, especially with the audience that we're looking at today. Catherine Laredo, who I am pretty positive is on this call, has been absolutely instrumental in spearheading the visiting faculty program on behalf of the Office of EDI. So not only instrumental in sort of getting people together, but even quantitatively increasing the sheer number of people that are participating in that. I believe over the last 2 or 3 years. So thank you so much. And really congratulations, Catherine, for all the work that you've done for us. I know I'll speak on behalf of Sandra to say we are very, very grateful for your work. And then I won't step on a potential question from Cindy.
Yeah, thanks for leaving so much room for questions. I had a question for Kevin about the African School of Physics. So Kevin, I've heard you speak about this before and you and I have talked about it a little bit. So I guess I wanted to know if there were any upcoming deadlines or any sort of, I think it's a great thing to get involved with. How do we make sure that we don't miss out on being most useful?
Yeah, that's a good question. So they have, I mean, the last 2 years has been a little bit disrupted in terms of how they've organized their conferences and school. I know there's their next conference, in fact, is in a few weeks, well, 2 weeks, March 7, where people could submit abstract and give talks. So I think that may be a bit too late now. But I think they have a school planned in the summer, July timeframe. And obviously we would, the website we're developing is to try and get people who are interested to at least indicate they want to participate. And then from there, I think we would try and distribute and communicate this information accordingly and in time to allow people to try and get involved. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thanks, it does. I was just trying to make sure that we didn't miss out on being able to help.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, quick other note that I have to shout out from a also personal point of view. The Inventor Recognition Ceremony is taking place this afternoon. I know that it's a part of the Engineers Week program that is being hosted by the Office of Partnerships and Technology Transfer. That's my old department. And I know that they are also very invested in connecting with different EDI initiatives and lifting up all the various communities that are represented at Fermilab. So if you have not signed up for that yet, or if you have not accepted that invitation yet, highly recommend attending. It's really cool to see all of the innovations that have happened from all different types of people at the lab over the past year.
Well, if there's no other questions, I just want to thank everybody who attended. Like we said, this presentation will be shared. And other than that, have a great day. I hope everybody has a great day. Thank you.
Before everybody leaves, I wanted to thank all the presenters today because this was a very good presentation. It shows a lot of active involvement by the people at the laboratory, and I thank you for all your work on the different groups. So thank you all.
Thank you all very much.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.